Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. This week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be speaking with Betty Francis. She is the Vice President of Human Resources for the Wilmington Trust Wealth Advisory Services in Wilmington, Delaware. She's also on the board of directors for SHRM, the Society for Human Resource Management. We're going to be talking with her about today being an HR influencer. So let's talk to Betty about that right now. Betty, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to join you.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I know that I just heard you up at the Maine State HR Convention back there in May a few weeks ago. It's a great show, isn't it, up there?
Yes, it is, and the people in Maine are just so gracious and so hospitable. It's a joy to be there.
Well, we're going to be talking a little bit about today being an HR influencer. And, you know, I think one of the things that HR professionals always think about is, or don't think about enough is, about themselves, about their careers. They're so engaged with making sure that others are taken care of, that they are helping their colleagues or helping their employees or helping senior management, that sometimes they forget about making sure that they take care of themselves and building up their influence to ultimately help others, right?
Very true. Mm-hmm. Very true. And that's one of the things that I've, as chair, as you may know, I've had the opportunity to serve as the chair of the board of directors for SHRM. And that's one of the things that I've really focused on last year and my first year as chair and again this year. And it's been around innovation and influencing skills. Because to your point, in order for us to really be able to do all the things we want and need to do for our colleagues and our workforce, we have to be the best that we can be.
You know, I think that's so true when you really think about each and every person understanding that their role may be different as an HR person in every company. As we all know, there are different degrees that an HR person handles, you know, things at a different organizational mm-hmm. level. But even if they're in payroll, if they're in benefits, if they're a generalist, if they're a director, if they're a VP, if they're SVP, they all have critical roles that they need to understand. And if they want to move up in the organization, this is how they have to act, how they have to understand their roles and what they need to do to make them better.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about influencing.
Yes.
Influence is an interesting word, right? Because you are trying to have some influence over others. How do you see that in terms of its definition or how you would see HR professionals using that role?
Well, first of all, I see it as a building block that every single one of us needs. And it's probably important to point out that while we're focusing on HR professionals, right now, there are many professions that struggle with the ability to influence. So it's really an important life skill as well as a professional skill. And I think the definitions, they've been working on the definition or reviewing the definition really for thousands of years. I mean, as far back as Plato was even thinking about the definition of influencing. So we continue to find ways to influence others in order to make our point and obviously achieve an objective.
Well, HR professionals are very knowledgeable. They certainly have a lot of technical and legal information.
Yes.
They have things that they need
mm-hmm.
to know. How do they translate a lot of that knowledge into this influencer as we're talking about today?
Well, I think there's a couple of different ways to do that, and I have basically tried to identify about five different components to that, and one of them is a strategy that can easily be misunderstood, I think, when you're talking about influencing. We're not talking about manipulating. We're not talking about intimidating. We're really talking about connecting. Now, there's probably, I'm sure there are plenty of books and courses and things that you can read about where the influencing approach has a tendency to focus on manipulative tactics or techniques or even leveraging power relationships. But I think there's actually a book out there, Real Influence, and written by Mark Goldston and John Ullman, and they actually call that approach disconnected influence. And I don't think that type of influence works in the long term. So I think what we want to focus on as professionals is seeking ways to influence people, getting to know what they want to achieve, what drives them, what they're worried about.
You know, it's interesting. I went to an HR event probably a few months ago. This is before the HR convention that we all went to. Mm-hmm. And one of the speakers just asked the audience, and this was an audience of probably 80 to 100 professionals, HR professionals. And he said, how many of you want to become the top person in your HR company? There were very few hands that went up. Mm-hmm. And it was surprising to, I think, a lot of people in the room. And I think part of it is that there, and I'm not sure the full answer what, but I know he was certainly surprised by the answer. I think some of them just don't know how. They're so good at the technical side, they're so good at their job, but they just don't think necessarily big picture. Do you see that
exactly.
in your work?
Yeah. I mean, you see that, again, not just in the HR profession, but, you know, you'll see it across your organization. And some of us are just good tacticians, and there's nothing wrong with that. But for me, I think one of the things that really gets me excited about being an HR professional is that ability to influence what happens in an organization. How can I contribute what I know about people, about building human capital, to the success of the organization? Because when the organization is success, everybody in it wins. And that's what we're all looking for. And that just gets me excited. Now, is everybody going to be that top HR professional? No. If you really want to, if you really get excited about that broader picture, and you can see 2, 3, 5 years in advance, that may well be the job for you. But I wouldn't discount the value that the tactician or the specialist brings to the table, because that head of HR needs every single one of those specialists as well.
Well, especially if they're big picture thinker, you know, you typically
yeah.
see big picture thinkers aren't as, and this is a generalist statement, right? So they aren't typically as detail orientated. They're not as typically mm-hmm. technical. They may certainly understand
right.
it. They may certainly know it, but they certainly don't necessarily like it, you know, from
right.
a
mm-hmm.
from that standpoint. But without it, they're done.
They
period. You can't do what mm-hmm. you do at a strategic level if, in fact, you're tied up in the weeds.
That's right. That's right. And that's why those specialists become so important to them. But I think the other thing that is important for that head of HR, that big picture, is being able to speak the language of business. Now, I know we say that all the time.
We do. It seems to be a buzz phrase right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does that really mean? And to me, at least from my perspective, it means talking about what the business does, the value that the business brings to its end client or customer, however they define that, and being able to talk about that before you have any conversation about the people in the organization. And most of us, because our passion is probably around the people, around the workforce, is we often have a tendency to lead with the people piece. And I think that may be a big reason why more and more non-HR business professionals are being promoted into the leadership, the top HR position, because they're starting with that business perspective rather than beginning with the people perspective. You've got to bring the people perspective into it, but the rest of your colleagues around the room are thinking about the business first.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I do see a trend that way, and and I think that has its pluses and minuses, as every strategy does.
Sure.
But when you're really looking at another trend, and I'm sure you'll talk about this as well, I am really seeing HR, unfortunately, going back a little bit in the model of under the CFO again. We are seeing that in a lot of organizations, that HR has slid back a little bit under finance or under the CFO if they don't have necessarily a seat at the table. And that is an interesting trend that we are seeing that really doesn't bode well, I will say that.
You know, it doesn't, but and some of my colleagues may not agree with this, but, you know, oftentimes in a smaller organization, if that CFO might be the leader of the business. Yes, there's a president, but sometimes in smaller organizations, the president might be very focused on a certain aspect of the business, and the CFO might be a combination of CFO, COO. And if that's how you're going to be able to influence the organization, if that's how you're going to be able to contribute to the success of the organization, I do my best to make that case so that the CEO would begin to seek me out.
Right. Right. That makes perfect sense. I mean, look, you have to deal with the realities, right?
Exactly.
You have to deal with the realities. And sometimes, you know, I do hear professionals say, well, you know, sometimes I just don't get her, the CFO, da, 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 da. The reality is then you're not influencing correctly. You're not really getting yourself to be a key player or a person who has the knowledge that the C-suite needs.
That's right. That's right. So I think you just have, sometimes you just swallow hard, prove yourself through innovative thinking, through the ability to influence, and, you know, it will change. And then there are certainly going to be those cases where it just isn't going to change. And if you can't live with that, then I think you have to, you know, look elsewhere to make a contribution in a different organization.
Well, you talk about, and I know you've said this before, that HR is the soft side of business, right? And that they often are not included in meetings where value creation and budgetary allocations of the business are discussed.
Mm-hmm.
How do they either, A, get invited to those meetings, or how do they still make sure that their interests or the interests of the people are seen in those meetings? And is this really about understanding the value, and I'm talking financial value, of HR?
I think it goes back to the topic that I spoke about at the conference, and that's around influencing. So we mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, one of the strategies is to connect. So you need to be able to connect with the other influencers in your organization. And I mean really connect with them, not just when you need something, but really reach out and begin to build a relationship. I go back to the CFO frequently, and in many instances, I consider the CFO my best partner. Because if I don't know how to move the discussion from that soft side, we don't want to upset this person, or this is how this individual might feel. But I need to be able to bring that conversation to a business level. And oftentimes, the CFO can help me do that.
You are listening to the HR Power Hour, and we are talking with Betty Francis. And we're talking about being an HR influencer. We're going to talk about how that CFO thinks when we come back. And you're listening to HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan. Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan. Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan? I like bronze, like my tan. Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group. Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com, and we are talking with Betty Francis. She is the Vice President, Director of Human Resources with Wilmington Trust Wealth Advisory Services in Delaware, and she was just up at the Maine HR Convention, did a great keynote presentation, and we're talking about being an HR influencer. Betty, before we went to commercial break here, you were talking about how the CFO can be your partner, your key player, your key partner when trying to get influence in the C-suite. Talk a little bit more about that. Continue that thought.
Yeah, so I think, you know, one of the things that I try to do, and I find that the CFO can often be my best business partner. When the topic can easily be on the softer side, how people might be feeling, the morale in the organization, and I don't want to underestimate the value of that at all. But many times the entree to the discussion is from a dollars and cents perspective. And if I'm not sure how to do that, if I don't feel like I'm able to really communicate that, my best partner is the CFO. Help me put this in dollars and cents language. And I think that helps the rest of the people at the table understand that impact, because all the other professionals at the table are presenting their perspectives, their ideas in that same dollars and cents. How is it going to move the company forward? What does it mean, dollars and cents?
Well, of course, at the end of the day, it's about the bottom line, isn't it? You know,
it absolutely is.
You know, we can say we want a million things. We want our people taken care of. We want them trained. We want all the wonderful things. But if we have no money to do it at the end of the day and we can't do it effectively or efficiently, it really doesn't matter what we want. So
that's right.
I think
that's
absolutely correct that at the end of the day, this is where it matters and where you have to be. When you're talking about influencing that CFO, I think this is a good time to talk about the language being able to speak about the numbers, being able to understand the business. Do you have some thoughts on that in terms of making sure that HR professionals or business leaders really understand how to talk about the numbers?
Sure. I think we talk a lot about the language of numbers. You know, what's the return on investment of that particular training program? What are the profit margins? What's the bottom line result? How much money is the organization making? What does it cost to run the organization? So I think some of those things are fairly straightforward. How do you read an income statement, a balance sheet? But I think what really changes it from a conversation that almost may sound like I am just repeating something that I've read out of a book, that I don't really understand what I'm saying, is to get under the covers of the organization and to really understand how value is created. Why do the clients or customers of this organization buy that product or service? And if I can position what I'm trying to present in those terms, I think I have a much greater likelihood of success. And we were talking about the partnership with the CFO. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't bring in our marketing executive. Here's another professional who can help us present some of the information in a way that aligns with other presentations in the organization. So really understanding how the company you work for makes money, and what is the market saying? How do you lose money? What are the things that disrupt sales, that potentially disrupt your partnership or your competition in the market? Those are the things that I think we really need to be able to speak clearly about.
The other thing you mentioned is that really the ability to influence is like a muscle. And you talk
yes.
about it being trained, developed, and requires exercise. Expand on that a little.
Well, so oftentimes I think people assume that influencing is a skill that you're just born with. And it is not. And I think there's evidence out there that supports that. But like any muscle, if you don't use it, it atrophies. So you begin to learn how to influence. You begin to learn how to use that muscle by using it over and over, exercising it repeatedly, connecting with others that we've already talked about, seeking out people, building common trust and loyalty with others. And doing this on a regular basis, networking with people, being what I call an authentic giver. Those are ways that you continue to build your ability to influence. And along the way, that expertise that you have as an HR professional increases your value to those others that you're connecting with. And that's all part of influencing. And you're doing it each and every day. It becomes a part of what you do. And just like your daily exercise routine, you're getting stronger and stronger and stronger.
Well, it really is about people at the end of the day, isn't it? If you want to achieve anything, we talk a lot about in careers, it's about people you know. While it's important to have knowledge and have skills, at the end of the day, the contacts are what's going to make or break you in terms of everything. So at the end of the day, it is about people.
It's always about people. No matter what the topic, no matter what you're trying to do, it always ends up to be about people and relationships. And I don't know if there's any way around that.
I doubt there is, to be honest with you, because it's really been that way since the beginning of time, and I don't see any change in that. Even with electronics today and the way people communicate, and all the challenges that are out there in terms of texting and spelling and all the crazy things, you're still judged on everything. That's just the reality of it.
It is. It is the reality, sure. I just wonder if we're not going to, like many things, it's new, there's a new piece of technology, it's exciting, we want to use it, but we still have a basic need as humans to connect. And I just don't see that ever going away. I know we talk a lot today about the millennials, and you know they'll text each other from across the table rather than looking each other in the eye and having a conversation. But there's still a connection there. They're still sitting across the table. And you know, maybe I'm being a little bit naive, but if the human contact wasn't that important, I don't even think they'd be sitting across the table. So hopefully this will come full circle, and we'll begin to understand some of the limitations in texting and where we may not accomplish as much as we'd like to without those developed relationships.
Well, it certainly is being tested and challenged. I mean, there is no question that today, I think one of the big complaints you hear is the fact that, you know, there is less communication. It's more written. As we all know, written, honestly, is one of the worst forms of communication between people because you can get some feel from the words, but the reality is that you don't get tone, you don't get inflection, you get body language, all that stuff that matters, really, in a relationship. So you get the feeling that they understand, that they are not angry, they're not upset. I mean, I can just think of about a million different types of texts that I've received. But talk about children, right? They send you a text, you read it, you have an interpretation of it. It had nothing to do with what they actually sent to you, right? I mean, nothing to do with what they... And you're like, seriously? And you talk to them, that's not what I meant. Well, it's no different in the workplace because we're seeing a lot more texts, we're seeing a lot more email, we're seeing IM, all that stuff. It is making a difference on the intranets in the companies.
Oh, it definitely is. It definitely is. But I think video conferencing is still alive and well. When things are really important, we go back to that face-to-face type of communication. Maybe it's supported with a written document. Maybe the conversation is supported with some text. But when you're really trying to have a serious, meaningful conversation, it is still done person to person, or maybe via video conference. But to your point, you still are looking for that eye contact, the ability to read body language, to really understand tone and intonation. So I don't think it's going away anytime soon. It's just taking a little different form, I hope temporarily.
Well, you know, from an influence standpoint, right, that ability to read the other person, to be able to understand truly the whole situation, is almost impossible to do from a written form.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's just almost impossible to feel the tenseness in a room, to feel the dynamic, the importance to the other person, where you may think it's not important. You just don't get that any other way.
No, you don't. And many, many of a disagreement has occurred over a letter that I received, and I misunderstood the words. I misinterpreted the tone of the letter. You know, to your point earlier, I can use a word. I'm not even sure if I can come up with a word at the moment, but it seemed like a very neutral term. You read it in black and white, and you take it very differently.
Absolutely.
And now we have a misunderstanding.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely correct. We're talking with Betty Francis. She is the VP of Wilmington Trust, and she's talking about being an HR influencer. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLLB, and we'll be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan. Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan. Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan? I like bronze, like my tan. Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group. Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. Our sponsors for today's show, AARP, taking on issues that matter. Northern Insurance Group, meeting your business, commercial, and personal insurance needs. Sheehan Finney Bass & Green, innovative approaches and practical solutions. And the law firm of Jackson Lewis, all we do is work. And today we are talking with the one, the only, Betty Francis, the VP of Director and HR with Wilmington Trust Wealth Advisory Services. Betty, by the way, I saw your performance up at the main HR convention. It was awesome. I appreciate all the information. And that was a great group, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And thank you for your kind introduction. I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem at all. You know, one of the things that we've been talking about today, as everybody knows, is being an HR influencer. Well, in that conversation that you had up there, as well as conversation today, I want to talk about the steps that you provided in terms of how to make this happen, because people could be listening today to the show and going, yeah, I'd love to be that. That sounds great. This is who I need to be. Yoo-hoo! Now, how the heck do I do that? You know, it's not necessarily easy for me, right? So how can they go, you know, how can they make it happen? How can they really take a good stab at it and make a difference?
Well, I think it occurs over time, and there are five steps that I've kind of focused on that I think really help to be able to influence, but in a very honest way. I think sometimes we think about influencing as doing something that you do to someone else just to get your way, and that's not what I'm talking about. I don't think that's a long-term strategy.
So you're not talking about marriage, right? You're not talking about I'm sorry, honey, if you're listening, that's just a joke. Okay, continue, sorry.
So I think the first thing that I think about is we're not manipulating, we are not trying to intimidate, but we are trying to connect. And there's actually a one of our members, Joseph Cabral. He's the CHRO of North Shore, which is a multi-billion-dollar healthcare entity. And he even talks about an aha moment that he had about connecting versus manipulating. And several years ago, with the help of a mentor, he had come to realize that the transition to a new system that he was trying to do would have gone much more smoothly if he had first connected with the company executives who were most affected by the change. He had said that he wished he had met with each one of them so that he could have let them know why the change was necessary. He could have listened to their concerns and showed them why it was best for anyone. But he had taken that command and control approach. So just an example of why connecting, or how connecting, can be so important.
When you're talking about that connection, I believe step two, which is the one you're going to talk about, is it's not about starting it when you need to change.
Mm-hmm.
It's about doing it early, right? And then, so I know you're going to talk about this, but how early?
Well before you need to. So somebody in your church or your neighborhood suddenly asks you for a favor, and you've never spoken to them before. How likely are you to agree? How likely are you to say yes? Probably not likely at all. And it's not really any different in the workplace. So if you wait to build that relationship with a colleague until you need something from them, it's going to be very hard to win their support. So the earlier you begin, the better.
So when somebody is saying to themselves, look, I haven't done a lot of connecting. I haven't done a lot of talking to others in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
I know I say it's never too late to start, but it is really never too late to start, right?
It's never too late to start. And I don't think you ever really know where all your relationships might, quote, need to be. But you're an individual with likes and dislikes, and there are people around you in your workplace that where you have common interests. Now, you know, I mentioned earlier about the CFO or maybe the head of marketing as being very valuable business partners for me. They may not necessarily be best friends. I may not necessarily like everything that they do, but I find some way to connect with them. As individuals, there's always something. Maybe it's music, it's art, it's a sport, something that we have to talk about to kind of bring that human aspect into the relationship. And you have to step outside your comfort zone a little bit.
No, you're absolutely right. So we've been talking about the five steps to developing influencing skills. Step one, to connect. Step two, to connect before you need to. Step three, a lot of the HR people have down, right? It's to become an expert.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you think about it, who's the most influential person in your office when the computer breaks down? It's the IT guy. So you may not necessarily be friends with that person, but you defer to them because they are the expert.
And you need to become that person in your organization so the C-suite comes to you. So it's one thing to be an expert, but it's also one to be known as the expert. You can be an expert and not known, right?
Correct. So I think, again, we do that pretty well. There is... I'm just trying to think of the SHRM member name. It escapes me at the moment, but I've spoken with this person a few times, and one of the things that this person says is many times HR people tend to be overly humble, and they don't show what they can do. So one of the most basic facts that we have in our work life is having the skills. That's just the first step. But how do you show those skills? And that is what can really drive influence.
Well, you talk about now step four, which is to align your objectives as an executive with the goals of the organization. I think that's probably one of the most critical things that a person can really understand and know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know, every organization really has silos. HR is one of them. Finance is another. You know, tech support is probably yet another. So to kind of go outside your department, I'm going back to winning allies outside of your silo, across your organization. What are the top leaders of those other areas in your organization trying to achieve? What's important to them? And if you can show how what you want to achieve for the company helps them gain what they want, again, you're on your way to gaining influence.
When you're talking about doing that, just to clarify a little, one of the things that I certainly have told professionals in the past is it's not about what you want. It's about what they want first, and then try to align with that. If you go in saying, here's what I want, and so is that something you want, it's not going to be very effective, is it?
Exactly. That's a great point. Listening first, and we talked about last year and a lot of the messaging that I did around innovation, it's about listening. And in many times, you have to find the right balance, but in many times, you're better off being quiet and listening before you say anything, because you learn so much when you listen.
And so much that you thought you knew, but you realize at the end of the conversation, you didn't know.
Exactly.
Do you have an example of a success story in number four, someone who really went out and listened to this?
Yeah, you know, there's a speaker that travels around quite a bit and happens to be in a minority, also the only female often in the room, and was doing some work in an organization, working with a number of executives, and there was a meeting on Friday morning that was held each week. And they'd have a good meeting. At the end of the meeting, the guys would go off and play golf, and she was never invited. Now, she could have taken the approach, you know, kind of maybe pounding on the desk and saying, you need to invite me. But she didn't. She took a very different approach. And A, she volunteered to go with them and said, you know what, I don't really play golf, but I can drive the cart. And so reached out to these individuals in a different way. And they had these conversations. They would go for a beer after, and just so happened that she happened to like beer, and she could talk to them about different brews and microbrews and that type of thing. And it come to find out that they didn't even realize what they were doing. So she made much greater progress in building a relationship with those individuals rather than taking what might have been perceived as a much more aggressive approach.
Now, that's a great example, and it fits right into step five, as we have talked about your five steps of developing influencing skills. Connect before you need to. Become an expert. Align your objectives with executives with the goals of the organization. And then step five is to network, network, network. And that's what you're talking about.
Absolutely. Network, network, network. It is. There's just so many things that get accomplished in networking. And it also goes back to, you know, listening, what we said earlier, connecting with people, and being that authentic giver. Oftentimes we walk into a networking situation, probably dreading it because, oh, my God, I must have to be able to produce something here. And it isn't even that. It's just getting to know people, understanding their likes and dislikes. And often you have the opportunity to offer something. You may not even think about it when you go into the networking situation, but just the natural connection with people gives you the opportunity to offer something. You're not asking for anything. But as they see you being able to offer advice or an idea, a suggestion, you begin to build that trust. And we've talked a lot about relationships, how it always comes back to people, and the relationships need to be based on trust. I think we've said it before, but people can sense when you're approaching them only because you want something from them.
That's right. They can. And that's not a good way to build a healthy relationship or a network.
It is not. And if you're willing to share information, you know, help a colleague out of a jam, make somebody else look good without asking for anything in return, I think you then create the kind of network that will really increase your influence over time.
We're speaking with Betty Francis. She is the VP of HR for Wilmington Trust, and we will be right back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan?
I like bronze, like my tan.
Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group.
Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we have been having a great dialogue with Betty Francis. She is the VP of HR for the Wilmington Trust Wealth Advisory Services in Delaware. That's a great company, isn't it?
It is a great company. We are actually part of the M&T Bank, which is, I think, quite familiar in the northeastern part of the country as well, a great organization, and I am happy to be a part of it.
So you've been doing this for a long time. How long have you been speaking on these type of topics?
Well, the privilege is to be able to speak last year and this year as the chair of the Society for Human Resource Management. But I've been very involved in the profession for more years than I care to admit to at this point. And I'm just very passionate. It's a good career. It's been good to me. And I love being a part of making business success.
No, it's absolutely true. SHRM is a great organization and one that has done such a lot of great work across the country and actually across the globe if you really want to get to the core of it. They put on some great programs. We've had a number of SHRM executives on talking about different things. As a matter of fact, hope to get the president on. Maybe I'd solicit that for you on the air. I would love to have the SHRM president on to talk to her about some of the great work. But that said, you're going to be speaking across other SHRM platforms. Tell us about some of the stuff that's up and coming.
Well, I have the Delaware session coming up at the end of May, and I also have our national conference, which is the largest gathering in the world, more than 15,000 attendees, toward the end of June. July is a little bit quieter, so there are some smaller local chapter meetings, and then we gear up again in the fall. And I think one of the most exciting sessions is our annual leadership meeting that we have in November, where SHRM brings all of its volunteer leaders, chapter presidents, state council directors, and other volunteer leaders together. That is a meeting you don't want to miss. If you want to see passion, energy, and expertise, that is the meeting to be a part of.
No, that's awesome. That's great. You know, when we've been talking to a lot of people across the country over these last few years doing this show, and I've been so pleased to hear, you know, everybody talk about SHRM in such a great way, and, you know, having somebody from the board and talking to you about and getting to meet you, obviously, up at the conference has been obviously something that I enjoy, having to be able to talk to the organization members and see how passionate they are about their work.
Absolutely. I love it. It's a great organization. We have a lot to be proud of, but we also have a lot of work ahead of us, and it's good work. And I think you'll see this profession continue to grow and be an influencer in business today and in the future.
Well, Betty, I want to thank you for being on the show today. Appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB. And now the HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group. Licensed agents in 28 states, business, commercial, and personal. Go to northerninsurancegroup.com. Employers are required to display certain posters in the workplace where workers can see them. A number of states, including the state of Maine, require this. The Maine Department of Labor has no-cost downloads of posters available that meet the full legal requirements such as minimum wage, child labor laws, and regulation of employment. All other states should check with their departments of labor to see if they have this service. So visit maine.gov/labor/posters to get your posters that you need in the state of Maine, or again, check your local Department of Labor so that you don't have to pay for these important and required posters. And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group at northerninsurancegroup.com. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're talking with Dr. Jackie Freiberg, best-selling author of Nuts, Southwest Airlines' Crazy Recipe for Business and Personal Success. We're going to be talking about Noticed, Lead, and Disrupt, Creating a Culture of Innovation on the next HR Power Hour. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.